Tafsir from verse 50. This is the end of Juz 12. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ أُتُونِي بِهِ. The king said, bring this man to me. He said it to who? To the court people. Bring this man to me. Because you see, for the interpretation of his dream, it is said he had gathered many people, that any wise person or a scholar can interpret this dream for me. Because the dream, that is very clear, and that leaves some effects on the heart, then you see one is always inquisitive to know what is the message given to me in this dream. But what happened with Allah's izn, that no one could interpret the king's dream. Like Musa alayhi salam, he was sent to Pharaoh's court. And then when he was picked up from the river, many women tried to feed him in order to stop the baby crying. But he would not take anyone's milk. So this was all Allah's planning, his will, his command, so that Musa alayhi salam meets his mother. So in the same way, it was Allah's planning that Yusuf alayhi salam is taken out of this trial, this difficulty, and also that Yusuf alayhi salam reaches a high moral station, a high status, so that people assert his virtues, honor, elevated rank, and patience, and that people are convinced of the intellectual and spiritual excellence of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. And also, as compared to their knowledge, people should recognize Yusuf alayhi salam's knowledge in the interpretation of dreams and value his good conduct. وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ أُتُونِي بِهِ. The king said, bring this man to me. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُ الرَّسُولُ. When the messenger came to him. To who? To Yusuf. When the king's emissary came to Yusuf and conveyed the news of his imminent release, what happened? قَالَ. He said, who? Yusuf alayhi salam. He said, irji ila rabbik. Go back to your Lord. Go back to your master. I cannot come now. My release from this prison is with a condition, and that is that go. Fas'alhu. So ask him. What? Ma balun niswatillati qaddana aydiyahunna. And ask him about the case of those women who cut their hands. Are they still in the same state? Or the thinking has changed? You see, Yusuf alayhi salam refused to leave the prison until the king and his subjects declare his innocence and the integrity of his honor, denouncing the false accusation that the wife of the Aziz made against him. Inna Rabbi bikaydihinna alim. Indeed, my Rabb has full knowledge of their snare. But I want that the accusation for which I was sent here to the prison, so I want that accusation to be removed. Now, why did he wish this, huh? You see, at that time, wisdom demanded that the reality of the misconduct for which he was blamed and because of which he was confined into the prison must become fully clear before everyone concerned, and no one remains in doubt about his innocence. If this was not done, the outcome would be that people would stop talking for a while because of the royal honor bestowed on him. But these doubts would keep ticking in their hearts, making them think that he was the person who had violated the honor of his master. Therefore, he considered it necessary that this matter should be straightened out and cleaned up before his release. Also, we come to know, why didn't he come out of the jail as soon as the king called him? This reflects his character, his personality, that he was not a person who would hasten, but he would deal the affairs after good thinking. Because you see, hastening is the most harmful thing for the one who calls towards the deen. So that is why it is said, Al-ajalatu min ash-shaytan. Hastening is from the deeds of shaitan. So to do a work in time in a good way is liked. To do in the first time is very much liked. But hastening is disliked. For example, going to the masjid. Now the congregational salah has started and still you cannot run in the masjid. This hastening is disliked. Now if you really wanted the reward of standing in the first row, or you wanted to get the reward of joining the congregational prayer, then you should have come earlier. But if you left late, so now on reaching the door of the masjid, you cannot run. Why? Because it will disturb the other people who are offering salah. Now if it is said that on one hand, it is afzal to offer salah in its first time and reach by the first takbir is afzal. But on the other hand, it is said, do not rush, do not run, do not make chaos. So this is the difference between doing work in time and hastening. Remember the story of rabbit and the tortoise? So we too sleep like the rabbit. And then when we wake up, we start rushing. We don't work in time. So a person who is slow, but he's working in a consistent nature, he's working continuously, he after all reaches the destination and he succeeds. You see, one's capability or success does not depend only on his intelligence or his education or any other talents, but his success also lies in his wisdom and his understanding. Here we see all those qualities are present in Yusuf alayhi salam, which should be in a da'i. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam is an outstanding proof of his patience, forbearance, and noble traits of character. You see, neither he shows any negative reaction, he doesn't shout or wail, complain on any trials that are coming to him. It does not come in any tradition that he cried or he shouted in the well when he was there for 3 days, that when he was taken out from the well, he was crying. No. And then after he was deprived from his father's love, thrown into the well, at that time he was only a teenager, not a mature man. What do? We do all the wrong things, wrong works, and give the excuse that we are teenagers. To show bad attitude or do any wrong deed, we are allowed. And we have given a beautiful name to it. What? Teenager. Just to cover all the wrong deeds that we commit. You see, Muhammad bin Qasim too was a teenager when he conquered Sindh. So why should the teenagers justify for their evil deeds? Also, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was Halim, forbearing. He was too patient. And this is very important for people working for Deen, that is, not to hasten. Then also many difficulties came to Yusuf alayhi salam, but he never shows any impatience. He's patient all the time. He does not complain. And now when the time has come to be released from the jail, and now when the royal emissary delivered to him the order of his release and invited him to see the king, he's being given honor. Even now, he's not impatient. We're totally the opposite, huh? إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا إِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. When evil or when any calamity befalls, we start what? We start to complain. And if any good befalls, we keep it to ourselves. So you see, Yusuf alayhi salam said, go back and ask what happened to those women who cut their hands, because he had to clarify the matter regarding his character. He asked for investigations to be made in order to expose the betrayal of the betrayers. And also we see there was a touch of royal elegance in his manner when he demanded that his case be investigated first. And of course he knew about his importance, that now I have become their need. Now the king then investigated and asked, Qala. The king questioned those women, saying, Ma khatbukunna? What was your affair? Look at this word, khatbukunna. It is from kha طُعْبَ خَاطَب. It means affair, object, small or big. Mostly it is used for dislike things. Remember the same word we have read before when those angels came to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and he said, قَالَ مَا خَطْبُكُمْ أَيُّهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ. قَالَ مَا خَطْبُكُنَّ إِذْ رَاوَدْتُنَّ يُوسُفَ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. The king questioned those women saying, what do you say about the incident when you attempt to seduce Yusuf? قُلْنَا. The women replied, what? حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا عَلِمْنَا عَلَيْهِ مِنْ سُوءٍ. God forbid, we know of no evil on his part. We do not find any evil in him. Now you see the same women who have plotted against Yusuf alayhi salam so as to send him to the prison. Because previously it came in verse 35. ثُمَّ بَدَى لَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا رَأَوُوا الْآيَاتِ لَيَسْجُنُنَّهُ حَتَّى حِينَ. Even after all the evidence they had seen of his innocence and the guilt of their women, they thought it proper to send him to prison for a while. So we come to know this was the opinion of all of those women. It was not only the wife of the minister that she sent him to jail, no, but all others too were with her. Meanwhile, the Aziz's wife said, what?
قالت امرأة العزيز الآن حسحس الحق.
The Aziz's wife said, now that the truth has come to light.
أنا راودته عن نفسي. It was I who attempted to seduce him.
وإنه لمن الصادقين. In fact, he is absolutely truthful. Now the woman confesses her sins. This was my mistake, and maybe her acknowledging of this sin before a big gathering, Allah liked it, and he may have given her the tawfiq ability to accept Iman. Why? Because you see, Allah Ta'ala greatly likes the one who acknowledges his sins. This is my mistake, my fault. And then, you know, being persistent on sins, what is that? A satanic attitude which takes man away from Allah. ذَلِكَ, that is, meaning this word is being said, لِيَعْلَمَ أَنِّي لَمْ أَخُنْهُ بِالْغَيْبِ. By this inquiry, I meant to let him know that I did not betray him in his absence.
وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي كَيْدَ الْخَائِنِينَ.
And that Allah does not let the snare of the treacherous succeed. 13th Juz, from verse 53.
وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي.
Not that I am free from sin.
إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي.
Man's soul is prone to evil, except the one to whom my Rabb has shown mercy.
إِنَّ رَبِّي غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ.
Certainly my Rabb is forgiving, merciful. Now who said these words, huh? About this, there are two views. The first view is that this is the continuation of the speech of the wife of Aziz. That is from Qalat, verse 51, till Inna Rabbi Ghafurur Rahim. And those who do this tafsir interpretation, they say that because the same speech continues, so in that case, its meaning would be
ذَلِكَ لِيَعْلَمَ أَنِّي لَمْ أَخُنْهُ بِالْغَيْبِ.
That is, the wife of Aziz is saying, so that my husband knows that I did not betray him. She said, I admit this against myself, so that my husband knows that I did not betray him in his absence. I tried to seduce this young man and he refused.
وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي كَيْدَ الْخَائِنِينَ
وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. And verily, Allah guides not the plot of the betrayers, and I'm free not myself. That is from the blame. Meaning, she said, I do not exonerate myself from blame because the soul wishes and lusts. And this is what made me seduce him. For,
النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِسُوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي.
Verily, the human self is inclined to evil, except when my Lord bestows his mercy upon whom he wills.
That is whom Allah the Exalted wills to grant them immunity. Inna Rabbi Ghafurur Rahim. Verily, my Lord is oft forgiving, most merciful. The second view is that the wife of Aziz, her words end here, where till verse 51, وَإِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. And according to this view, it is said, this is Yusuf alayhi salam's statement, that it is Yusuf alayhi salam is the one who said, ذَلِكَ لِيَعْلَمَ أَنِّي لَمْ أَخُنْهُ, in order that he is the Aziz, may know that I betrayed him not with his wife, بِالْغَيْبِ, in his absence, until the end of Ayah 53. He said, I sent back the emissary so that the king would investigate my innocence and the Aziz be certain that Anni lam akhunhu, I betrayed him not with his wife, bil ghaybi, in his absence. Wa anna allaha la yahdi kaid al khaineen. And verily, Allah guides not the plot of the betrayers. And we see this view is more stronger and more obvious. This seems more correct, that the choice of words and the speech is such that it seems it is uttered by a prophet. How? You see, Yusuf alayhi salam let them do this investigation and ended the blame on himself, so that the woman's husband comes to know that it was not Yusuf's fault, and that the betrayal of the betrayers is exposed and people would stand warned that betrayers are finally disgraced, leaving a lesson for others to stay away from doing things like that in future. And that, I don't say that I am a very pious person, that is why I have been safeguarded from wrong, but it was my Rabb's mercy on me. It is a Nabi who can express the majesty of his Rabb in such a way. Only a Nabi can do this. Inna Rabbi Ghafurur Rahim. Certainly my Rabb is forgiving, merciful, who saved me from evil. Now the question is, does this sentence show self-appreciation, self-praise, or is this his clarification? And why did Yusuf alayhi salam have to prove or clarify his innocence? You see, this was because tomorrow, in future, he had to do the work of da'wah, tabligh, and he was given prophethood. And now he had come to people openly and guide them. And if a person has a blame upon himself, and with this blame he is calling people to Islam, and he is preaching, then it is not very beneficial. Because the personality of a preacher or a da'i and his character should be clear, without any stain. Why? Because if people do not regard someone to be trustworthy with respect to people, then they cannot regard him to be trustworthy as a da'i, because he's serving Allah's deen. It is not possible to betray and then be honored at the same time. You see, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he was given prophethood, before that, he had two very special qualities, and all his society acknowledged this. He was Ameen, trustworthy, and Sadiq, truthful. And you see, without these two qualities, one cannot serve the deen. And the one who betrays cannot be successful in this field. You see, whoever wants to serve the deen, he has to remove these two bad traits from him. Number one, lying, and number two, betraying. To be truthful, and then also to be truthful before people, so that they all say, what? وَإِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. In fact, he's absolutely truthful. Also, you see, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he got this credit, and then Yusuf Alayhi Wasallam too was known to be truthful. Now, when you tell people about Allah's deen, or you talk about Allah, along with it, you're known to be a liar among people, then who will listen to you? And when is a person known to be a liar? Whose lies are exposed. And you see, lies can never be hidden. It is always disclosed one day. You know about the noble companions, their biggest quality was that they never lied. And some used to say, we never lied and we never knew what is lie. But what do? We lie all the time. We lie to our children. Even while joking, we are lying. On the phone, we lie. So the first thing is, you have to say goodbye to lying. Do not lie, okay? And second, imanat, be trustworthy. That is what responsibility one is given, then he has to fulfill it. Do not betray in it. Because those who betray, they are not capable of serving Allah's deen. That is, they just work to show off, to just gain some name and fame. They forget their actual responsibility. You see, the enemies of the Holy Prophet ﷺ who plotted to kill him, the imanat trust of the same people was kept with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is how trustworthy he was. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي كَيْدَ الْخَائِنِينَ. And Allah does not let the snare of the treacherous succeed. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. Not that I am free from sin. I am a human. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. Man's soul is prone to evil. Nafs for sure takes to evil deeds. لَأَمَّارَةٌ. أَمَّارَة on the wazan of fa'al. It has exaggeration. One which greatly commands. One that constantly commands. Nafs always incites man to do wrong. And it incites with severity. It greatly commands to wrong. And our greatest enemy is our own nafs, our soul, because of which we do wrong. So those who are the slaves of their nafs, they cannot serve Allah's deen. Why? Because deen demands sacrifice of the nafs, and it demands sacrifice of one's desires, of your sleep, hunger, emotions. This path is difficult, and those who want to fulfill their desires and be slaves of their nafs, then they cannot serve Allah's deen. This is not their path. They are not worthy of this work. إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. Except the one to whom my Rabb has shown mercy. And man can only safeguard from the evil of his nafs. How? By Allah's mercy. لَوْلَا أَرَّأَ بُرْحَانَ رَبِّهِ. Upon whom Allah is merciful, and whom he gives the tawfiq ability. And one should ask for tawfiq, that O Allah, give me the ability. We must read this dua. اللهم رحمتك أرجو فلا تكلني إلى نفسي طرفة عين وأصلح لي شأني كله لا إله إلا أنت. Translation, O Allah, I hope for your mercy, so do not entrust me to myself, that is nafs, even for a moment, and rectify all my affairs. There is no God but you. Abu Dawud. إن ربي غفور رحيم. Certainly my Rabb is forgiving, merciful. Meaning, whoever asks for Allah's mercy and turns to Allah, then Allah will grant him mercy. You know, nafs is the combination of shahwat, lust, desires, and ghadab, anger. And these two things are a result of zulm and jahal. Jahal is ignorance. And desires or lust overpowers with jihala, ignorance, and anger is the result of zulm. Now the cure of ignorance is in ilm, knowledge, and cure for zulm is justice. And for this one needs good company, good environment, good ilm, good people, righteous people. And one should never claim that I have a pure nafs. لا تزكوا أنفسكم. And the greatest evil of the nafs is, come on, tell me. The greatest evil of the nafs is, yes, arrogance. To think high of yourself, huh? All the evils sprout from this. To think I am the greatest, huh? Then said, وقال الملك أتوني به. The king said, bring him to me. Now why is he saying this again? Because now he knows He has judged Yusuf alayhisalam's capabilities, his unusual hikmah, wisdom and knowledge, noble traits of his character. So this tells us that if you have capability, then others will definitely incline towards you. But instead of creating this capability, we just focus or give importance to the apparent aspect. We think if we look smart, beautiful, clever, then we will have a lot of importance. And you see, for serving Allah's deen, you don't need to care just for your apparent, because deen is not a work of superficiality, but it is a spiritual work as well. And for that, we need to have a high and strong spirit to uplift people spiritually. وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ أُتُونِي بِهِ The king said, bring him to me. Now Yusuf a.s. has become his need. And the king feels he cannot manage without Yusuf a.s. And he's in jail and he wants him to be released from it immediately. Now you see, Yusuf a.s. has no publicity in the prison, but when Allah wanted to take work from him, he gives chance of publicity as well. But you see, a mu'min never wants name and fame. But when Allah Ta'ala wants to take work from you, then He will give you publicity as well. Why? Because this is Allah's work. But if you just want to work to gain some name and fame, then there will be no barakat. And the king says, what? أَسْتَخْلِصْهُ لِنَفْسِي I will take him for my special service, that I may make him among my close aides and associates. I want to make him sincere for myself, make him my personal advisor. Now Yusuf alayhi salam comes and they talk to each other. The king was familiar and also he was influenced by Yusuf alayhi salam's knowledge and wisdom. And now after conversing with him, he became more happy. فَلَمَّا كَلَّمَهُ When Yusuf had a talk with the king, the first quality which helped him was his knowledge and wisdom, which strengthened his personality. And now, on meeting, the king sees the apparent quality also, because speech is the apparent quality, but it is related to man's inner. Like man's tongue is a reflection of his heart, and man is recognized by his speech. Now when the king spoke to Yusuf alayhi salam and further recognized his virtues, great ability, brilliance, good conduct, and perfect mannerism, he said, what? Qala, he said, إِنَّكَ الْيَوْمَ لَذَيْنَ مَكِينٌ أَمِينٌ From now on, you have an honorable place with us, and you will enjoy our full confidence. Ladaina makinun, one of rank, and then Amin, trustworthy. The king said to Yusuf, you have assumed an exalted status with us and are indeed fully trusted. Innaka al-yawma ladaina makinun Amin. And by saying Amin, he signaled that now you will be the advisor in the government matters, and important secrets of the country will be given to you or shared with you. So you see, a person belonging to another nation, another country, who was in jail, who lived in slavery, he, because of his capability and talents, his noble traits, he is greatly trusted. By his speech, it was known that he can be trusted. Now, what kind of conversation gives trust to the other person, huh? A conversation in which there is concern and well-being for the other person. No cleverness, huh? Sometimes we only try to flatter the other person. In our hearts, it's something else. And on our tongues, something else. We say one thing and our deeds show something else. So the other person comes to know that there is a difference between his speech and his actions. But the king judged through the conversation that this person, whatever he is saying, is of great importance, and he gives such right advices. In a narration, it states that Yusuf alayhi salam advised the king about his dream that he has to take some precautions after this dream that you saw, that there should be some places to store the grain and people should be given training so they were not affected by the famine. And this was such an advice that no one else from this country had given. And he not only told him of the interpretation of the dream, but also the planning. And you see, because of this, a person's sincerity becomes obvious. Now you see, the advice given by Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam was that during the first 7 years of expected heavy rains, you should have arrangements made so that cultivation and crops yield their highest. This could be done by giving incentives to people to make sure that their maximum land areas come under cultivation and crops turn out plentiful, and let them keep storing 1/5 of their total produce with them. Thus the people of Egypt would have stored with them enough for the 7 years of famine, and you would not have to worry on their account. Keep whatever supply of grains come to the government through fixed taxes or state land stored for those coming from outside the country, because this famine will be widespread. People living in adjoining countries would need your help. At that time, you may come to the help of many a deprived people around you by giving it to them. Even if you were to put an ordinary price on it, you can be sure of collecting in the government treasury the amount of wealth that had never been there. The king was immensely pleased with this advice, but did wonder how would such a great plan be managed, and who would do that. Thereupon, it is said, Yusuf alayhi salam said, اجعلني على خزائن الأرض إني حفيظ عليم. That is, appoint me to the treasures of the land, which includes the produce of the land, for I am indeed a knowledgeable keeper, that is, fully capable of conserving and guarding it, and aware of where to spend and how much to spend.